The Troll and the Truth Pixie. Rules for prisoners. Number one, stay locked up until you die. Number two, try not to kill each other, but don't worry about it. And number three, that's it. Brilliant. Nicholas had seen the tower. It was the tall, thin, round building to the west of the village. It seemed to get taller as the guards pushed him closer along the path through the snow. He could feel Mika trembling against his chest. "This is all my fault," whispered Nicholas. "You must escape. Look, there, those hills over there with the trees behind the tower. Run to them, hide. You'll be safe there." And Mika looked and smelt the air, and he noticed that the air from that direction smelt faintly delicious, faintly cheese-like. The elf guard, who was nearest to them, pointed his little axe up towards the boy. "Stop talking!" As the two guards looked away, Nicholas took Mika out of his pocket and placed him on the ground. "Go, Mika, now!" The little creature sprinted away towards the wooded hills and the pretty little yellow cheese-scented cottages. "Hey!" said the guard, beginning to chase after the rodent. "Leave it," ordered Father Vidal. "We can lose a mouse, but not a human." "Goodbye, my friend." "Silence," barked Father Vidal. And this time it was fear rather than magic that caused Nicholas to keep his mouth shut. Nicholas had never felt so alone. The tower, the prison, was a scary place. Yet although it was horrid, it also had very nice, comforting things written on the stone walls of the staircase. For its time as the Welcome Tower, things like "Welcome" and "Strangers are just friends with weird faces" and "Hug a human" were all over the walls. Brilliant. One of the blue tunic-wearing elf guards saw Nicholas reading the signs. "Back in Mother Ivy's time, I would have been obliged to cook you gingerbread and show you my spickle dancing. And yet now I have permission to chop you up into little pieces. I cry myself to sleep every night and feel dead inside, but society is definitely improving." Brilliant. "I quite like the sound of your old society." "It was a mistake. It was full of friendliness and happiness and dancing. Not important things like fear and disliking outsiders. Father Vidal has made us see the error of our ways." After a long climb up a winding dark staircase, Nicholas was thrown into the cell right at the top. Unfortunately, the tower was made of stone, not wood. It had no windows and its walls were streaking charcoal black. The tiny glow from a flaming torch on the wall helped Nicholas's eyes adjust to the light. Someone ginormous was snoring under a blanket on a tiny bed. And out of the corner of his eye, Nicholas could see a small black hole in the centre of the ceiling. The guards slammed the door closed, and the loud reverberating echo trembled through Nicholas like dread. "Hey, let me out. I've done nothing wrong," Nicholas shouted. "Shh," came a voice, causing Nicholas to jump. He turned, and there, veiled in flickering shadow, was a sprightly looking creature wearing yellow clothes and an innocent smile. This creature was no more than a metre tall. She had pointed ears and long hair and an angelic little face that looked as pure and delicate as a snowflake, though her cheeks were a bit grubby. "Are you an elf?" he whispered, but already doubting the idea. "No, no, I'm a pixie. A truth pixie." "A truth pixie? What's one of them?" "One of them is me. But be quiet or you'll wake Sebastian." "Who's Sebastian?" "The troll," she said, pointing her pale pixie finger towards the large misshapen creature that was currently scratching his backside as he dozed on a tiny bed. Sebastian seemed a peculiar name for a troll, but Nicholas didn't comment. He was too worried that he would never be able to escape this damp, cold, mouldy room. "When do they let us out of here?" Nicholas asked the pixie. "Never," said the truth pixie. "You're lying." "Can't lie. I'm a truth pixie. I have to tell the truth. That's what gets me in trouble. Well, that and making people's heads explode." She quickly covered her mouth with her hand, ashamed of the words that she had just blurted out. Nicholas looked at her, and he couldn't imagine anyone who looked less likely to hurt anyone. "What do you mean, explode their heads?" She tried to stop herself, but couldn't help pulling a small golden leaf from her pocket. Hulip. Hewlip? Yes, I gave an elf some Hewlip soup and their head exploded. It was so much fun, it was almost worth life imprisonment. I'm saving my last leaf for someone special. I love seeing heads explode, can't help it. Nicholas felt fear prickling his skin. If even the sweetest looking pixie could turn out to be a murderer, there really was no hope. Would you like to see my head explode? Nicholas asked, although he was petrified of the answer. The truth pixie desperately tried to lie. No, yes, I would. Like that so much. Then she looked guilty. Sorry, she said. Worried that the truth pixie might try to put Hewlip in his mouth as he slept, Nicholas vowed to himself that he would do everything in his power to stay awake for as long as possible. Indeed, forever, if need be. The troll rolled over in bed and opened his eyes. What be you? Asked the troll. And though he was big, he wasn't slow, and a moment later Nicholas was struggling for breath as a rough, textured, warty hand grabbed him by the throat and squeezed hard. I'm Nicholas, a boy, a human. A human? What be a human? Nicholas tried to explain, but he couldn't breathe, and all that came out was a strangulated gurgle. Humans live beyond the mountains, explained the truth pixie. They come from the south. They're very dangerous. Squeeze his neck until his head falls off. Nicholas looked at the truth pixie, who smiled sweetly. Sorry, she said. I just can't help it. The troll thought about killing Nicholas, but decided against it. It'd be Christmas Day, he said to himself. Bad luck to kill on Christmas Day. It's the 23rd of December, she said the truth pixie, helpfully. If you want to kill him, I suggest you go ahead. That be troll Christmas Day. Troll Christmas Day, come early. Can't kill him on Christmas Day. He let go of Nicholas's neck. That's ridiculous, sighed the truth pixie. Christmas Day is the 25th of December. Sebastian stared down at Nicholas. I be kill you tomorrow. Right, said Nicholas, rubbing his neck. Something to look forward to, then. Sebastian laughed. Yeah, human funny. Human funny. Like Tomty Gub. Tomty Gubs are very amusing, confirmed the truth pixie, and wonderful musicians. Terrible cooks, though. Clearly Sebastian had decided to be friendly. It was Christmas, after all. I be Sebastian. A troll. Be pleased to meet you, human. Nicholas smiled and looked at his face, which was trickier than it sounds. Sebastian was ugly. He had only one yellow tooth and grey-green skin and a smelly, ragged outfit made of goat skin. And he was very, very big. His breath stank of rotten cabbage. Why are you in here? Asked Nicholas, his voice trembling with fear. I be try still reindeer. But they be reindeer what fly like bird, and they be flying in sky. Reindeer don't fly, said Nicholas. But even as he said it, he remembered Donna trotting off the ground and detaching from her shadow in the reindeer field. Of course elves reindeer fly, pointed out Truth Pixie. They've been drimwicked. Drimwicked, Nicholas remembered. Drimwick. That was the word that Father Toppo, like little Noosh, had used to bring him and Blitzen back to life. It was a magical word. Just to say it out loud was to feel a little warmer, as if your brain was coated in sun-warmed honey. A drimwick is a hope spell. If you have been drimwicked, it gives you powers even if you're only a reindeer, the truth pixie said. What kind of powers? It takes all the good in you and makes it stronger. Makes it magical. If you wish for something good, the magic will help. It is a very boring kind of magic because being good is very boring. Nicholas thought about Aunt Carlotta throwing Mika out the door. No, he told the grubby-faced pixie. You're wrong. The whole world, or the world I come from, the world of humans, is full of bad things. There's misery and greed and sadness and hunger and unkindness all over the place. There are many, many children who never get any presents and who are lucky to get anything more than just a few spoonfuls of mushroom soup for dinner. They have no toys to play with and they will go to bed hungry. Children who don't have parents, children who have to live with horrible people like my Aunt Carlotta. In a world like that, it's very easy to be bad. So when someone is good or kind, it's a magic in itself. It gives people hope, and hope is the most wonderful thing there is. Sebastian and the Truth Pixie listened to this in silence. The troll even shed a tear, a tear that rolled down his crumpled grey face and fell on the dusty stone floor and turned into a little pebble. I wish I was good, said the Truth Pixie, looking down sadly at a hulip leaf. If I was good, I could be at home right now, eating cinnamon cake. I'm glad I be troll and not human, said Sebastian, shaking his head and sighing. Especially you, because you be dead tomorrow. Nicholas tried to ignore the threats of death and the troll's giant grey warty neck strangling hands and turned again to the Truth Pixie. He was still a bit frightened of her, but knew that being frightened wasn't a very useful thing to feel. He also knew that if he wanted answers, there had to be no better place than this particular prison cell. If I ask you questions, do you have to tell me the truth? She nodded emphatically. Yes, I'm a truth pixie. Of course. Good. Right. Okay, so let me think. Do you know if my father's alive? He's a human, obviously, and he's called Joel. Joel who? Joel the woodcutter. Joel the woodcutter. It doesn't ring a bell. No, no bells, said the Truth Pixie. What about Little Kip? Little Kip? Yes, the little elf boy. I've heard of him. He was on the front page of the Daily Snow. It's an elf newspaper, but some of us pixies over the wooded hills like to read it just in case we read about elves that have eaten hulip and exploded. Oh, and for recipes and gossip, of course. Did Little Kip's head explode? Nicholas asked. Oh no, he was kidnapped. Kidnapped? And not by pixies or trolls either. I don't think it would have been such a big deal if it had been pixies or trolls, or even the Tomty Grub. But no, he was kidnapped by humans. Nicholas felt a sudden chill. Which humans? I don't know, group of men, 41 moons ago. They came here with everyone eagerly, and everyone eagerly welcomed them. Vidal ordered a special feast in the village hall in their honour, and they were invited to stay for as long as they wanted. But in the middle of the night, they kidnapped an elf child, and they led it away on a sleigh, and escaped before the sun rose. Nicholas's heart skipped a beat. A sleigh? He felt properly terrified now. It was like falling while staying still. He took his father's hat off and stared at it. Even scarier than the thought of being killed by a troll, even scarier than being locked in an elf prison, was the idea that his own father could have been one of the men who kidnapped Little Kip. He didn't want to say this out loud, but it was a truth in his mind now, and he wanted to make it right. He wanted to make everything right. Nicholas looked up at the tiny dark hole. Truth Pixie, do you know what that hole in the ceiling is for? Yes, I do. You see, this didn't used to be a prison. This used to be a welcome tower back when Mother Ivy was in charge. I know, Father Vidal told me. Elves were always welcoming creatures. This place used to be full of friendly elves giving out free plum wine to everyone who came here. Which was no one, but the thought was there. This room was the furnace, and they used to have a fire in here which could be seen for miles around, so that visitors who believed in elves and pixies and magic could find their way here. I like smoke, added Sebastian thoughtfully. And so the hole you see in the ceiling, said the Truth Pixie, was the chimney, asked Nicholas. Precisely. Nicholas stared up at the dark hole. If he put an arm above his head and jumped up, he could probably reach in and touch the sides. But it was impossible to escape the chimney. It was impossible to escape. The chimney was smaller than him, and even the Truth Pixie wouldn't be able to squeeze inside. But then, what had Father Topo said to him? An impossibility is just a possibility that you just don't understand, he said out loud. Yes, said the truth pixie. That is the truth. The art of climbing through chimneys. Sebastian fell back to his snoring, and the sound was like a motorbike. But motorbikes hadn't been invented yet, so Nicholas couldn't compare it to that. Then soon after, the truth pixie fell asleep too. The troll was still hogging the bed, so the truth pixie had curled up on the floor, holding on to her tulip leaf. Nicholas was extremely tired. He had never felt so tired before. Not even before Christmas, when he was never able to sleep because he was so excited. He knew he needed to sleep, but he didn't trust the truth pixie, and he sat with his back against a cold, hard wall, staring up at the chimney. Outside, beyond the thick wooden door, in between Sebastian's snores, he could just about hear the mumbled voices of the elf guards. He had to get out of here. Not simply because he was with two creatures who each for different reasons wanted to kill him. No, he had to escape and find his father. He had a hunch that he was still alive, and he also knew that he was probably with the men who had supposedly taken little Kip. There must be some confusion. His father was a good man. He had to find him and he had to bring back little Kip. He had to make everything all right. But how? He remembered the day his mother died, hiding from the brown bear in the well, holding onto the chain, holding the bucket, and then losing her grip. The wail as she fell, while Nicholas watched in horror from the cottage. On that day, and for a lot of days after, let's say 1098, he had believed that things could only get worse, and that he would wake up in tears for the rest of his life, feeling guilty that he hadn't stayed with her, even though he thought she was running too. He prayed somehow for her to come back, and Joel kept on telling him he looked like his mother, but his cheeks weren't as red. So sometimes Nicholas used to grab some berries and crush them on his cheeks and look at his reflection in the lake. And in the blurry water, he could almost imagine it was her looking back from a dream. It's funny, Papa, he once said, as his father chopped a tree. But I could probably have filled that well with tears, the amount I have cried. She wouldn't want you to cry. She'd want you to be happy, jolly. She was the happiest person I ever met. And so the next morning, Nicholas woke up and didn't cry. He was determined not to, and nor had he had his usual nightmare about his mother falling down the well, so he knew that terrible things, even the most terrible things, couldn't stop the world from turning. Life went on, and he made a promise to himself that when he grew older, he'd try to be like his mother, colourful and happy and kind and full of joy, and that was how he was going to keep her alive. There were no windows in the tower, and the door was thick wood and solid metal. And besides, there were guards. He was there in this damp stone circular room, as stuck as an axe in a wheel. There was a world out there, a world of frozen forests and lakes and mountains and hope. But that world belonged to other people now, not him. There simply was no way out. And yet, strangely, he wasn't unhappy. Scared, yes, maybe, a little, but also deep down, hopeful. He began to chuckle to himself. Impossible. That's what Father Topo had meant when he realised that that was the point of magic, wasn't it? To do the impossible. Could he, Nicholas, really do magic? He stared at the chimney, at the small circle of darkness, and he tried to concentrate hard on that chimney, the dark tunnel and how to get through it. It was an intense darkness, like the darkness of the well, and he thought of his mum falling and all those times he had imagined it the other way, of her rising back into life. He thought of staring at the brown bear in the forest for the last time, not really that scared, and the bear going away. His head kept on saying it was impossible,
but he stared and stared, and slowly he started to hope, to wish. He thought of all those unhappy elves in the hall. He thought of his father's sad face and the day that he had left the cottage to travel north. He thought of Aunt Carlotta making him sleep outside in the cold, and he thought of human unhappiness, but he also thought of how it didn't need to be like that. He thought that really humans and probably even elves were good inside but had lost their way a bit. But most of all, he thought of how he could escape the tower. And then he thought of his mother smiling and laughing and being happy no matter what. He began to feel the same peculiar feeling as if a warm syrup was pouring inside him. Just as he had when he first met Father Topu and Little Noosh. It was a feeling of unbreakable joy, hope, where no hope could exist. And then, before he knew it, he was rising. He was floating off the ground. And very slowly and surely, he was climbing through the air, above the Truth Pixie and Sebastian. He felt as light as a feather until his head hit against the ceiling, right next to the two small chimney flue. He fell backwards towards the ground, but landed on top of Sebastian.
"It not be Christmas Day now. It be the day after Christmas Day," said Sebastian as he woke up, "so I be killing you."
Amid the commotion, the Truth Pixie had woken up. "Yay!" squealed the Truth Pixie. "I mean, it's technically Christmas Eve, but otherwise, yay!"
Nicholas moved fast and grabbed the yellow tulip leaf from the Truth Pixie's hand. He thrust the leaf towards Sebastian, but it wasn't the leaf that caused the one-toothed troll to step backwards. It was the fact that Nicholas was suspended in the air again.
"You be magic! Well, you be staying here if you be magic!"
"I'm beginning to ask myself the same thing," said Nicholas.
"Get away from me," said Nicholas. "Get down now and give me my leaf back."
Nicholas was trying to sound as fearsome as he could.
"That's tricky, actually, as we are trapped in a prison cell," said the Truth Pixie.
Sebastian grabbed Nicholas's leg and tried to pull him back down to the ground.
"Oh, this is exciting," said the Truth Pixie, smiling broadly and clapping her hands. "I love drama."
Sebastian's grip tightened, his rough hands as strong as stone.
"Get off," said Nicholas,
but it was no use. He thought of his mother falling and not rising, and that, combined with the strength of the troll, was interfering with the magic. Then something rough and was around Nicholas's neck, squeezing hard. Sebastian's free hand. Nicholas gasped.
"Can't breathe!"
Then the hand released.
"I be thinking," said Sebastian matter-of-factly, "I might be eating you instead of strangling. I be only have one tooth, but it be doing the job."
And he opened his mouth and was about to bite when Nicholas shoved the tulip leaf in his mouth. The Truth Pixie clapped her hands in excitement.
"Hey!"
came a deep elf voice from outside the door.
"What's going on in there?"
"Nothing," said Nicholas.
"Nothing," said Sebastian.
The Truth Pixie covered her mouth, but still couldn't help herself.
"The human boy is floating in the air while Sebastian is trying to eat him. But now the human boy has shoved the tulip leaf in his mouth, so I'm anxiously awaiting the explosion of Sebastian's head," she blurted out.
"Emergency!" shouted the elf guard behind the door. "There's a crisis in the furnace room!"
Sebastian stumbled backwards as the clop of elf footsteps could be heard echoing through the tower's spiral staircase.
It's because they have clogs on.
Then the troll's face began to tremble. Sebastian looked worried.
"What be happening?"
Nicholas heard the troll's stomach rumble.
It's more than a rumble. It was more even than a grumble.
It sounded like thunder. Nicholas was now back on the floor.
"I'm sorry," said Nicholas. He's going to blow, squealed the truth pixie. A Christmas Eve spectacular.
The more than grumbling noise rose higher inside the troll. And now the noise was coming from his head. His cheeks wobbled and his forehead started to throb. His lips started to swell and his ears bulged. His head was already big, but it was getting bigger and bigger and now wider than his shoulders. He was struggling to hold it up. And all the time the truth pixie was clapping her hands in excitement. This is going to be a good one. I can feel it. The guards were at the door trying to find the right key. Sebastian tried to speak, but he couldn't because his tongue was now the size of a slipper. He said as he clutched his head. His eyes were now so large that they nearly popped out of his head. Well, one did pop out and it rolled along the floor to Nicholas. It lay there, looking up at Nicholas, and was pretty disgusting. The truth pixie burst into hysterics looking at the eye. This is so good. Shouldn't laugh. Bad pixie, bad. But it's just so... Nicholas saw the truth pixie's face go still. What's up? Oh dear, I just wet myself, she said. And then she started giggling again. What's happening in here? Shouted the guards. I wouldn't open that door just yet, said the truth pixie. There's going to be an explosion. And that was the moment Sebastian's head got so big that it exploded with a loud, wet thud. Purple troll blood and grey troll brains splattered everywhere, over the walls, over the truth pixie and Nicholas. Amazing, said the truth pixie as she applauded. Bravo, Sebastian, bravo. Sebastian didn't respond to the truth pixie. Now, not out of rudeness, but out of not having a head. He was just a big troll body with no head. And the body was now falling forwards towards the truth pixie, who was still laughing so hard that she couldn't see. So Nicholas quickly dived towards the truth pixie, hurling her aside as Sebastian crashed onto the floor, squashing his loose eyeball. Oh my. You saved my life, said the truth pixie, a little bit in love. It was nothing. Then the sound of keys in the door. Nicholas closed his eyes and fought his panic. He was determined now. You can do it, said the truth pixie. Can I? Of course you can. As the door opened, Nicola was back, floating up through the air. Hey! Shouted an elf guard. Father Topo's words came back to Nicholas. You just close your eyes and wish for something to happen. Perhaps a wish was just a hope with a better aim. If you wished hard enough, maybe all kinds of things could happen. He thought about how Father Vidal had made furniture move. Maybe, with enough determination, a chimney could move too. I can do it, Nicholas said. Yes, you can, agreed the pixie. He closed his eyes and wished that he could. Nothing. Stillness. Then warmth. As the wish filled his whole body, he felt a sudden dip in his stomach like he was falling or rising. Then his heart began to race. When he finally opened his eyes, he saw blackness. He was inside the chimney. He could hear his mother's voice. My boy, my sweet Christmas boy. I'm going to be like you, Mum. I'm going to make people happy. The chimney bent and twisted and expanded to fit him perfectly as he travelled with considerable speed upwards. He could hear her voice. He could hear the voice of the truth pixie somewhere below him saying, told you. And then, in no time at all, Nicholas shot out of the chimney and felt the rush of cool air before he landed hard, but painlessly, on the steep tower roof. Blitzen to the rescue. The sun was rising. Raw pinks and oranges filled the sky. It was Christmas Eve. He gazed down at Elfhelm, which seemed as small and harmless as a toy village. He tried to lift his feet from the tiled roof, but no, nothing. Maybe he was too scared. He heard an elf guard shout out of the tower window to another elf on the path below. Help! Shouted the guard. The human boy has escaped. He's on the roof, said the elf below. It was the one that Nicholas had sat opposite at the feast in the village hall. The one with the plaits. Riri. Nicholas tried to think. He looked at the elf village below. He saw the reindeer in the field.
Then he saw Blitzen, tiny in the distance, nibbling the grass beside the frozen lake. "Blitzen!" he shouted at the top of his voice, waking up the whole village. "Blitzen! It's me, Nicholas, over here!" He then saw 100 elf guards in black trousers and tunics running quickly out of the village hall, like insects spreading across the snow. He also saw Father Vidal shouting orders at them from an upstairs window. Although they were small, he knew they could run fast and he didn't have long. "Blitzen!" He imagined he could see Blitzen stopping to look up. "Blitzen, help me! You've got to help! You can fly, Blitzen! You can fly! The magic that saved us makes you fly! You can fly!" It was useless. It was, in fact, a kind of torture to see the mountains, to know the rest of the world was right there beyond. Desperation flooded through him. Even if Blitzen could have understood him, and even if he did have the potential to fly, it's unlikely he would be able to believe in magic. Nicholas saw 10 or so guards run to the field and climb on the backs of the reindeer. One by one, the guards urged their mounts into action, steering them up towards the tower roof, and within seconds they were galloping fast through the air. "Blitzen!" he called again, but he could no longer see him. Where was he? The reindeer and the guards were getting closer to the tower, shadows in the air. Nicholas sensed a looming dark figure. He could feel him like a cloud blocking out the sun, getting inside his head, penetrating his mind, trying to push Nicholas forward off the roof. And then Father Vidal was actually there, on a reindeer, leading the charge, his beard flecked with snow and his face purple with rage. He was carrying an axe that Nicholas recognised instantly, a long dark handle and dazzling blade. "Your beloved father left this behind," shouted Father Vidal, hurling the axe directly at Nicholas, who ducked just in time. The axe curved back and landed in Father Vidal's hand, ready for him to try again, as Donna, the reindeer he was riding, circled around the roof. "Get away," Nicholas said. "You have no control over me." He closed his eyes. Warmth and light pushed away the dark cloud, and then it was happening. He was in the air, rising. For a second it felt like the snow was falling even faster. He blinked his eyes open, and there was Vidal. In an instant, Nicholas had crashed back onto the roof, causing some tiles to come loose and slide and tumble to the earth below. He slid down too, until he was hanging off the edge. He looked down and he could see a crowd of tiny elves had now gathered on the path to watch the commotion. "Catch the son of Joel the woodcutter," shouted one elf, named Snowflake, with shining white hair. "Kill the son of Joel the woodcutter," shouted another called Pickerwick, who was watching the scene through his handmade telescope. He was surprised at his own anger. "Crush his bones and use them to season our gingerbread. No outsiders." "No outsiders," said Snowflake. "No outsiders," said everyone. Well, actually, not absolutely everyone was shouting this. There was one voice of reason, but it was a very small, light voice, yet so clear as a bell that the words managed to rise up through the air to Nicholas. "Leave him alone." It felt beautiful to Nicholas's ears and gave him hope, and for a moment his loneliness left him. It was the little voice of little Noosh. "Leave him be. We're elves," Father Topu was now shouting. "Where has our kindness gone? Come on, we're elves. We didn't used to be like this." Nicholas's shoulders burned with pain as he hauled himself back up onto the cold slate roof in time to see the largest reindeer of them all charging towards him, urging himself closer and overtaking the others. His eyes were fixed on the roof with the same determination that had helped him climb the mountain. "Blitzen!" Father Vidal had seen him too. "Fire!" he shouted. A guard knelt in the snow and aimed his carefully made longbow, or as this was an elf, a short bow. He pulled the string back with his teeth, and as he grabbed an arrow, positioned it and fired. A dark line sped through the air and whistled past Nicholas's ear. Father Vidal roared his frustration and threw an axe at Blitzen, and it spanned through the air, but Blitzen ducked down fast and dipped his head so the arrow narrowly missed its target and sliced off the tip, oh my goodness, of one of his antlers instead. Nicholas ran forward, keeping his eyes on Blitzen and hoping as much as anyone can hope, and leapt into the air. He closed his eyes and hoped some more,
and his hope was answered. He landed on Blitzen's back. Yippee!
Stop them, screamed Father Vidal.
Go, 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 shouted Nicholas as Blitzen galloped at incredible speed through the air, south to the mountains. As they flew on, dodging flying axes and streaming arrows, until sheer hope and determination led them towards the sunrise. The search. They flew through the blustery air over forests full of snow-covered spruce trees and icy lakes, a landscape of white land and silver water. There were no signs of human life, no signs of Christmas. And from high up, the land looked as still and as flat as a map. They were travelling so fast that what would have taken them a day by land took them only minutes. The cold wind was strong, but Nicholas hardly felt it. Indeed, since he'd been Drimwicked, he had barely noticed the cold at all. No, that wasn't quite true. He had been aware of the cold, but it hadn't bothered him. It just was. Nicholas felt such relief that he had escaped, and at the possibility that his father was alive, such delight and wonder that he could make magic, that he suddenly, right there, half a mile above a lake, let out the biggest laugh of his life. It was a laugh that came from deep inside his belly. Less of a ha-ha-ha, more of a ho-ho-ho. The kind of jolly laugh his mother used to have. He leant forward and wrapped his arms around Blitzen. You are a true friend, he told him, and I'm sorry about what happened to your antler. Blitzen gave a quick raise of his head as if to say, that's all right, and galloped on. They were headed directly south, following the only road, the most obvious route towards home. Nicholas wondered if his father was already there, perhaps back in the forest chopping wood. By mid-morning, a grey mist had settled around them and no doubt began to creep into his head. What if Nicholas's father had kidnapped little Kip? He dismissed the thought. No, his dear papa would never do something like that. That would be impossible, wouldn't it? With a heavy heart, Nicholas realised what he had to do before he could return home. He had to find little Kip. He had to find the truth. He had to prove to the elves that his father was a good man. There must be some explanation. Little Kip had probably just run away from home, just as Nicholas had. All he needed to do was find the elf boy and everything would become clear. So they flew on and on and on. The reindeer swooped low above forests and higher over fields and the broad clay plains that seemed to stretch towards infinity, in the hope that they might see little Kip. The only thing they didn't do was fly directly over towns, because Nicholas didn't know how other people might react to seeing a boy and a reindeer flying over their heads. But sometimes they did see people, which made Blitzen very happy. You see, the other thing Nicholas had realised about Blitzen was that he had a sense of humour, and the thing he found really funny was weeing on people. And then... Oh dear. He'd hold it in for as long as possible, and then when he saw someone far below, he'd just, well, wee, and the people in question would just think it was raining. That's not a very nice Christmas present, Blitzen, Nicholas said, but he couldn't help laughing. On and on they travelled, fast and slow, and low and high, north and east, and south and west, but without success. Nicholas felt increasingly desperate. Maybe he should just go home after all. He was beginning to feel so tired and he knew Blitzen must be even more so. It had started snowing again. Come on, said Nicholas. We need to rest for the night. He had spotted a forest of pine trees immediately to the west. Let's land over there and find some shelter. So Blitzen, ever responsive to Nicholas's commands, angled westwards and flew lower and lower, weaving between the snow-capped pine trees, until they saw a break in the branches just beyond of a ravine. This is going to be a strange Christmas, thought Nicholas. They settled among the tall looming trees beneath the canopy of branches, and Nicholas and Blitzen lay back to back, and just as Nicholas was starting to drift into the dreamless sleep, he heard something. A crack of a twig. Voices. Men's voices. Nicholas sat bolt upright and listened hard. It was pitch black now, but the men, speaking in a slow, strong voice, seemed familiar. Or the man, sorry. It was the voice of the man who visited his father, Anders the hunter. "Blitzen," Nicholas whispered. "I think it's them. Wait there." And Nicholas got to his feet and tiptoed carefully over the dry ground. He saw a gold and orange glow. It grew brighter. A campfire. Shadows were moving like ghosts. As he got closer, he could see a group of large, huddled silhouettes sitting around the fire. The voices were more distinct now. "We're only days away from Turku," said one. "We'll be there for New Year. A week away until we give our little presents to the king." "I thought we were going home first," said a voice he knew better than any voice in the world. The sound of it caused Nicholas's heart to miss a beat. Fear and love flooded through him. He was about to shout, "Papa!" But something stopped him, and he waited. "No, we promised the king he has to have it before New Year." Nicholas could hardly breathe. His heart was thumping in his chest, but he knew he must try and stay calm. Be the forest. "Well, I promised my son I would be home by now." "It depends which promise you want to keep. The one to the king or the one to your son." The sound of laughter filled the forest, echoing off the trees so that it felt like it was coming from everywhere. Birds flapped away from the branches, squawking in fear. "We'd better be quiet," one of the men said, "or we'll wake him." "Oh," said another, "don't worry about it. Elves sleep soundly." Nicholas's stomach felt too light, as if it was falling. He thought he was going to be sick. "What does it matter?" said Anders. "He's in a cage. It's not as if he can go anywhere." It was true. Nicholas strained his eyes to see beyond the trees. There, on the other side of the fire and the men, was a strange box-shaped thing. He couldn't quite see the elf boy, but he knew that he was there. The men carried on talking. "Just keep thinking of the money, Joel. You'll never have to worry about Christmas again. All that money. What would you do with it? What would you buy for Christmas?" "I'd buy a farm." "I'd just look at it," said another one, who was called Artu. Though Nicholas didn't know that yet, Artu had a very large head with a very small brain inside. He had a wild hair and a wild beard, which made him look like someone peeping through a bush. "And after I looked at it, I'd buy a toilet." "A toilet? What's a toilet?" "It's a new invention I've heard about. The king's got one. It's a magic chamber pot with bowels like mine. It's got to be a good investment, and I'll buy a really nice candle. I like candles. I'll buy a big red candle." The men fell to murmuring among themselves, and Nicholas took the chance. Crouching on his hands and knees, he crept slowly forward, dodging pine cones and breathing slowly as he weaved through the trees, always keeping a safe distance from the men. Eventually, he reached the cage. It was made of wood and tied firmly with rope to the solid timber of a sleigh, a painted sleigh, the sleigh engraved with the word Christmas. His sleigh. Inside the cage, curled up, was a little elf boy. He wore the same kind of deep green tunic and looked roughly the same age as little Noosh. He had brown, very straight hair and large ears, even for an elf, but a tiny nose, and though his far apart eyes were closed, he had down-turned mouth and his face was creased with worry. Nicholas remembered his own brief but horrible time as a prisoner. He stood there wondering what he could do. There was no path, no trees to one side, and the clearing to the other. He was trembling with fear, but he knew he must wait for his father and the other men to fall asleep. Little Kip opened his eyes and stared straight at Nicholas. For a moment, it looked as if he was going to scream. "Shh," Nicholas said softly with a finger on his lips. "I'm here to help you." Little Kip was still a very young elf, and although he didn't know Nicholas, he was skilled at spotting goodness in someone and could see the kindness in Nicholas's eyes. He seemed to understand. "I'm scared," said the elf, in elf. But Nicholas understood. "It's all right." "Is it?" "Well, no. Not right now, but it will be." But then a fierce, rough voice seemed to come out of nowhere. "Happy Christmas!" Nicholas turned around and saw one of the men, a tall, skinny man with a crooked face, wearing a woolen hat with flaps over his ears. He was pointing at an arrow and crossbow at him. "Who are you? Tell me, or you're dead."